the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's.
With today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
Right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. We would love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports, and you can always email the show at Alyssa@YahooSportsRadio.com. And remember, you can listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to StreamYSR.com. Right now, it's time to open up the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. We're going to introduce one of the amazing minds and talents that covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports. That is Mr. Mark Spears. And I know he is ready for the long haul, the big season ahead. It's going to be good to hear your voice. Okay, I know you're out in Cali and Golden State, of course, winning it all. I mean, it was a long off season, and I did have a chance to, you know, see you, actually meet you out at the NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. Before we get underway and start talking about all the teams and the Lakers, and I mean, did you get a chance to kind of decompress and just take some time off?
Oh, you know what? It's funny. I've talked to some other writers, and they're like, "You ready for the season?" And everybody kind of says, "Man," and I'm talking about the NBA writers who you're like, "Look, we probably all could use an extra month." And I think the Warriors players, when I've talked to them, they said the same. This is actually a lighter year because there's, you know, no USA basketball involved other than their mini camp. So next year will be crazier because they'll be in preparation for the Olympics. So they'll start, the USA team will start in like mid-July and kind of carry on through for a while. So, but the people that work Monday through Friday working hard, they're not listening to us. They're like, "You got to cover basketball for a living." So, we're not digging ditches. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
But I'm ready, and I'm curious to see, you know, how this Golden State Warriors team will fare. I think they're ready. I think that the trash talking that the Clippers have done, that the Cavaliers have done, that others have done, the lack of respect has actually really helped the Warriors focus and come in good shape and come in hungry and feeling like, you know, they got to prove that they're worthy of being champions.
Is this a team that can repeat and win 67 games and a title again?
You know what? I do think they have the talent to repeat. I actually think they'll be a better team than before because now they're experienced. They've been through the battles. They know what it's like. You know, a year ago it was like, you know, couldn't they get over the hump of being in a tough position in the playoffs? Can they come from behind in the series? Well, we know they can because we've seen them do it. I think their team is the biggest challenge is, and you know, I go back to when I covered the Celtics for the Boston Globe when they won their championship in 2008. You know, the Celtics came back ready. They came back hungry. They came back in really good shape now, but that team was older, you know, and so that is something that helps Golden State is they're still a, you know, relatively young team. But the big challenge is, and I saw it with the Celtics team is, you know, no matter where they went, no matter who they played, it's like their homecoming. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Every game, a team is giving their 150% effort because they want to beat the champ. You could have a team that's not getting really good attendance, and because they're playing the Warriors, they're gonna get people coming to the game that weren't coming to the game before. It's gonna be sold out. Your friend that never comes to the game all of a sudden wants tickets to the game.
Right.
So I think this is a different situation, you know, than the Warriors are accustomed to. They're not used to being darling. They're not used to people being excited to see them. But now you got Steph, you got Clay, you got Draymond, you got guys that are icons. And every game, it's going to be tough. And I remember seeing the Clippers play the Celtics after the Celtics won, and the Clippers had one of the worst teams in the NBA at the time, and they ended up beating them. And I think after the game, you could have sworn the Clippers won the NBA championship. They're so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Warriors are going to get on a nightly basis now being champions.
Yahoo Sports NBA writer Mark Spears joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, and as we zero in on the Golden State Warriors, obviously they return a roster, a full roster that is, but what about in terms of with their head coach Steve Kerr? No timetable on his return, and how did he rupture a disc in his back?
Well, he's got a really tough and sad situation, and you know we're still not certain when he'll return. I think this is a really, really tough situation for Luke Walton to be in, being the interim coach. You know, if Coach Gentry was still around and not with the Pelicans, he certainly easily would have,
right,
you know, filled that role.
Sure.
And but he's gone. It's a little surprising to me that they didn't move Ron Adams into that role. He has previous head coaching experience with mm-hmm. Fresno State. And you know, older guy in the league. But,
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, Steve Kerr obviously had real strong confidence in Walton. And they believe that because this is an older, you know, a veteran team, that it's not like, say, the Kings with a bunch of new guys or a really, really young team like Orlando, that they could probably kind of be coached by autopilot a little bit. But I think there is some concern in Golden State that there is some slippage defensively. There's some kind of slippage in their preseason play to make them a little bit concerned about how they're going to be without Kerr. But that being said, it's really hard to gauge because it is preseason. And, you know, we probably really won't know what kind of impact it is without Steve until he's gone in the regular season, if such is the case.
You know, Mark, you talk about slippage defensively with Golden State, but you've watched them in the preseason. How do they look in terms of offensively? Are they in sync?
Oh, they look really explosive, really good. And one thing I noticed from their game on Tuesday night, they're moving the ball really, really well. Very unselfishly, probably even more unselfish than before.
How many passes before they take a shot?
Oh, I mean, sometimes you see aggressiveness.
Okay.
And then it's like either very aggressive or very passive. And I think they just depends on the situation of the defense. So I think I have no worries about their offense at all and what they're capable of doing and what they will do. I think from a defensive standpoint, I'm sure Warriors fans, the Warriors themselves, the players, the coaching staff would probably like to see something more impressive.
Yahoo Sports NBA writer Mark Spears with us tonight at YSR. We've got to step aside for a quick commercial break. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Yahoo Sports NBA writer Mark Spears joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Let's transition. Let's talk about the Lakers. Obviously, not high expectations in the 2015 season, but the return of Kobe Bryant. I mean, he dropped 21 in 18 minutes in preseason play. I know, you know, that's just, it's preseason. Does it really count? That's an encouraging sign. What's your forecast in terms of what the Lakers and what they might be able to accomplish this season in the Western Conference?
Well, I don't think they're going to be an easy win anymore. You know, Roy Hibbert's going to be tough defensively, could be an all-defensive team candidate. Lou Williams gives them some scoring off this bench, as does Brandon Bass. But I think the key is, one, you can't play Kobe too many minutes like before. you know, if you could get Kobe probably between like 25, 32 minutes a game, I think that'll help his longevity, help him stay healthy, help him be productive. You know, last year or last season when he was playing, he hit a lot of jumpers front rim. And now
it's coming up short. Yep.
I think that was because of fatigue. Now I think Byron, you know, kind of kicks himself about how he used them last year, and it'll be different this time around. But you know, they got another scorer behind him in Lou Williams. But the key is their small guard lineup, I guess you could say, or not small guard lineup, but their three guard lineup with Kobe, Jordan Clarkson, and also D'Angelo Russell, the rookie. To me, all three of them have to play well with great defense from Roy Hibbert for the Lakers that truly have a shot at making the playoffs. And I think they have a shot. I'm not saying they're going to make it, but if they're healthy and they play the way they're capable of playing, this could be a team that could get back.
Weekend start early right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. Would love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at E-Radio Sports. You can email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. As we continue our NBA conversation with Mark Spears, one of the best in the business, check him out, Yahoo Sports NBA writer. We are highlighting and zeroing in on the Los Angeles Lakers. Kobe Bryant's future, five-time champion. Is this the last season of his decorated and just incredible career? He's, what, 37? Is that right, Mark?
Yeah, you know what? If he's healthy and he plays well, I don't think so. I think he has a wait-and-see attitude, and, you know, we'll see if his body can handle it. But if he doesn't have any physical setbacks, I think he's going to play as long as he's healthy. It's hard to answer that question because we can't predict how his body feels. But if his body feels good this year, if there's no major injury problems, not a major loss and missed games, I think he'll still be a very productive NBA player, one of the top scorers, the all-star, and will keep playing.
Hard to predict, but could you envision him potentially down the road playing for another team? I mean, I thought that was really interesting, Phil Jackson's comments and what he shared.
Yeah.
It certainly fueled a lot of speculation.
I talked to Kobe on Media Day. And he strongly said that's not going to happen.
Okay.
He said he's a Laker for life. He bleeds purple and gold, and he's not going anywhere. So the only place I could see him playing is maybe professionally in China. Maybe that. But other than that, I can't see him doing anything else other than in the NBA, playing in the Lakers uniform. And when you played for somewhere so long, just a thought, I think, of starting from scratch somewhere else just seems odd. I think it would be, if Kobe's healthy, there's no way the Lakers don't want him back. I mean, they're selling a lot of tickets, merchandise. You know, they're getting a lot of people, companies endorsing the Lakers, giving them money because of Kobe Bryant. And when he's gone, a lot of that stuff is going to drop. So, I think they're going to milk Kobe as long as he's able to play. And I also think Kobe wants to be on that list that Jerry West, Magic Johnson, James Worthy mm-hmm. list, the guys that played their entire career, a small club of guys who had successful long Lakers-only careers.
That's right. My final question for you is obviously the heartbreaking news on Lamar Odom. Would you just mind sharing just some of your memories from him and just how his life has taken a really dark turn?
You know what? Every time I've had a moment with Lamar, that was kind of away from, I call away from basketball moment, because he's one of the players I would like to chit chat with. And he's very funny. Always give me a hard time about being a Raiders fan.
and he's a really nice guy.
Oh, I mean, one of the nicest. Yeah. Always have time for you. Just very, very funny, warm, hey, Mark, how you doing? Mm. You know, that kind of guy. No ego. It's funny. I remember a story about after he got married to Chloe, you know, we were chit-chatting. He's really close with a reporter in L.A. named Brad Turner, who's been covering the Lakers for a long time, and the three of us were talking, and he got a phone call, and he goes, oh, my girl's calling. He goes, oh, my bad. my wife is calling.
Uh-oh.
So I always, you know, remember that.
Sure.
My memories of him are always been positive, and I don't know the other side. I'm not privy to that side, and I know there's been some heartbreaks in his past that certainly has played a role in haunting him. But every time I think of Lamar Odom, it's always with a smile, with a joke about my Raiders, and you know, the one thing I also remember from a professional side was, you know, the Clippers were considering bringing him back, and the reason being is, you know, I think, you know, Vinny Del Negro was really impressed by what kind of teammate that Lamar Odom was, that when he played for the Clippers, and I'm not sure if it was DeAndre Jordan, but there was somebody on the Clippers got upset about something and went to the locker room, and Lamar actually went and followed them into the locker room, calmed them down, and helped them come back to the bench. And it was the, you know, it was because of that leadership, because of that, hey, you know, you got to respect where you are as far as the opportunity to be an NBA player is concerned. You know, why Doc Rivers was really considering bringing him in. So that's what I'm saying. It kind of seems like there was just two sides. And the side I was always around was the positive, smiling, funny, gracious side.
Right. Our thoughts and prayers are certainly with Lamar. Mark Spears has been with us, Yahoo Sports NBA writer. We look forward to catching up with you throughout the entire season. Thank you so much, Mark. We appreciate you joining us tonight.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Much more straight ahead right here at YSR. Stay close.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Walker Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As a reminder, you can listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That is streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. And it is another big weekend in the NFL. Week 6 of the 2015 season is underway. A number of matchups we're going to be watching very closely. But in our next segment, you know what? It's time for a little bit of a history lesson with a celebrated author of more than 42 books, including the classics Remembering Yankee Stadium and New York Baseball. Joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, Mr. Harvey Frommer. Good evening. It's wonderful to have you with us this weekend.
It's great to be with you, too. Either call me Dr. Harvey Frommer, because I worked hard to get my PhD, or just Harvey, but never miss her.
Okay, Dr. Frommer. Well, it's wonderful to have you back on the show, and so many of your books, we've even had you on the show in the past, and so many of your books have focused on baseball, and you really are a baseball historian, but tell us about your latest release. It is titled When It Was Just a Game, Remembering the First Super Bowl. It's an opportunity to turn back the hands of time and remember that first Super Bowl when it was called the World Championship Game.
Right. For me, it was really going into a time machine. I got my PhD back in the late 70s from New York University, and my celebrated advisor, a man named Neil Postman, your listeners may have heard of him, but he's passed on, but he was the author of Teaching as a Subversive Activity and Amusing Ourselves to Death, a brilliant man, and I was going to do my thesis on baseball culture and media. And he said, baseball has been worked to death. How about football? And that led me to do my thesis on football culture and the media. And one of the things I did back then was to interview Howard Cosell. And I came into his office in Manhattan telling him, you know, what I was all about. He said, what a stupid topic. Why don't you do something that will improve humanity?
Wow.
I said, Howard, all I want is a couple of paragraphs from you, and I'll get out. I just want to get this thesis done. He says, if that's all you want, sit down. We wound up talking for 2 hours on sports and life and everything else. Then I went on, and I interviewed Pete Rozelle the next day, and I had a 20-minute interview scheduled with him. That also went into overtime because he was taken with the topic that I was working on. And then, not to bore your listeners, the third in a row was Frank Gifford,
yes,
who I got to write the introduction for my book. And sadly, he just passed on a few weeks ago.
Yes, in-depth interviews. And, of course, the title of the book is When It Was Just a Game, Remembering the First Super Bowl. We are visiting with the great Harvey Frommer, who is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We'd love for you to chime in on the conversation. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. And you can always email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com and connect with Dr. Frommer. Where can they go, our listeners, and get a copy of this book? Because the holidays are just around the corner, and I think this would be just a wonderful gift. A treasure.
It's a 300-page book. It's only $30. And if they want to get it directly from me autographed, it would be Harvey.Frommer, F-R-O-M-M-E-R, at Dartmouth, D-A-R-T-M-O-U-T-H.edu, or else it's available on Amazon and in all good bookstores, as they say.
You know, Frank Gifford, of course, the late Frank Gifford, passed away in the month of August. And as you had mentioned, he wrote the foreword. You know, what did he share? I mean, you're talking about a guy, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, a College Football Hall of Famer, and a Pro Bowler.
And a Golden Boy.
Mm.
Really, you know, somebody special. A handsome, pleasant, personable, gentlemanly, etc. I could have called on anyone to write the intro, but my first thought was Frank Gifford. And when I called him up, I said, there'll be an honorarium involved. And he said, I don't need an honorarium. I have plenty of money, and you're doing a wonderful thing for football and American culture in doing this book. So off the record or on the record, I wrote it, which is what is the style for these introductions by celebrities. And then I sent it to him to be vetted, and he wrote back, I couldn't have done a better job myself. Go with it. So it just was said that we could not get a copy of the book to him, but we got it off to many copies, I believe, the publisher sent off to his family.
Mm. It is the fascinating story of the groundbreaking AFL-NFL World Championship game played January 15th, 1967. The Packers and the Chiefs. The title of the book is When It Was Just a Game, Remembering the First Super Bowl. So tell us about the layout of the book. What was the layout?
The layout of the book and the layout of the times was that three or four times other leagues had risen up to try to compete with the National Football League, and none of them succeeded. The AFL, American Football League, with Lamar Hunt and lots of money and a bunch of guys who called themselves the Foolish Club, these were millionaires at that time, who decided that they wanted to own a team and they wanted to go toe-to-toe with the National Football League. There was a battle for about 7 years, and the NFL thought that the AFL would go away. It didn't go away. It kept getting stronger. And its style of play was very different from the NFL, the establishment league style, all kinds of innovations. And the NFL disparagingly owners, they called it flag football league. And they got people who couldn't make it in the NFL. And they got a lot of retreads, and they got people from someplace up in Canada. All of this propaganda was going on. Anyway, in 1966, that June, the two leagues merged. And that really changed the whole course of American sports history, because one of the provisions of the merger was that there would be an AFL-NFL World Championship football game. It was supposed to be in late December of 66, then it was going to be early January of 66, and ultimately they pushed the date to January 15th, 1967.
Mm-hmm.
It was a game without a name. Pete Rozelle wanted to call it the Pro Bowl, but there was an existing Pro Bowl. They wanted to call it the Ultimate Game, and they wanted to call it all kinds of other names, but they settled on AFL-NFL Championship Game, and that basically was a mouthful and too long for newspaper headlines, so people started calling it the Super Game, which was catchy, but ultimately a child's Super Ball, which was a big thing back then in the 60s, a ball that if you bounced it went up pretty high. Allegedly, it was in the pocket of one of the owners when they had an owners' meeting, and they were debating what to call the game, and it was Lamar Hunt who said, "How about calling it the Super Bowl?" And no one liked that idea, especially Pete Rozelle, so that their first game and the second game was called the AFL-NFL Championship Game. But by the time the third game, the one where Willie Joe Namath showed what the AFL had to offer by, you know, helping his Jets win, it, from then on, it was the Super Bowl.
We were remembering the first Super Bowl, and you've mentioned several times the first NFL commissioner, Pete Rozelle. You know, in the book, you have a quote from Red Auerbach, the legendary Boston Celtics coach and president. He said, "Pro football was nothing until Pete Rozelle became the commissioner."
Right. I'm surprised that no one ever really did the definitive book on Pete Rozelle. I have that in my sights as we speak, but I haven't mentioned it to anybody but you until this moment in
All
time.
All right. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, I think it would really be something that people would appreciate. He was 32 years old in 1960 when there was an owners' meeting in Miami. The commissioner of the NFL, Burt Bell, had died, and Pete Rozelle was just, at that moment, a PR guy for the Los Angeles Rams, and they couldn't agree on somebody to be the owner, the guy who would be taking over as the commissioner, and they said, "How about that kid?" And Rozelle then was told to go into the men's room, and he stayed there. He said he washed his hands about 38 times because people kept coming in and out of the men's room. Finally, there was a knock on the door, and "You are the new commissioner of the NFL. Congratulations." So he washed his hands so many times, his first words when he came up to accept the new job was, "I come to you with clean hands."
Oh, I love that.
So that's one of the stories.
That's great.
The other story is
Tell me.
That he wanted to have the Super Bowl become bigger. This is a real modest dream, bigger than the World Series. And as both of us know, it's much, much, much bigger than the World Series. But at that moment in time, baseball was the national pastime, and baseball was king. And Rozelle, when I interviewed him, I was stunned by the fact that he was chain-smoking cigarettes in that Park Avenue office. I still can remember it. And he died much too young. In my opinion, he was the best commissioner that any sport ever had, any time.
And he was such a savvy negotiator in terms of, you think about the television contracts that he was able to put into place. Tell me about that.
He was brilliant in terms of his ability to mediate, to negotiate, to see the future. And it was just the good luck of the National Football League to pick this guy, because they could have picked anyone who really wanted the job. There was all kinds of fighting going on. And he really changed the whole direction of American sports.
The title of the book is When It Was Just a Game, Remembering the First Super Bowl. As we get ready to close out the interview, give me a quick hit, Harvey, on Bart Starr. He says that first Super Bowl ring, it's the one that makes him so proud. He wears it all the time, right?
Right. Bart Starr and many of the others that I interviewed, they went back to their youth, you know, recalling the game, recalling the time, recalling the pride of really what took place. I have one chapter called The Coaches, and it would be negligent of me not to talk about Vince Lombardi, the coach of the Packers, and Hank Stram, who really does not get enough credit in football history for how great he was as a coach. He was the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. So you had these two men, both religious Catholics, both who traveled with priests, both who had priests on the field with them, both who tried to go to Mass every single day, and both who had different styles of dress and different styles of life. But they met on that field on January 15th, and Stram was not afraid, and it was Lombardi who was afraid, because he was being bugged by phone, telegram, and personal visits by the NFL owners, you better not lose this game to this little upstart league, AFL. And Stram really could shoot the dice. He had nothing to lose, and yet he was a genius in playmanship and gamesmanship. So I really enjoyed being in my time machine, and I think any football fan or sports fan will enjoy reading my book.
Absolutely. Celebrated author Dr. Harvey Frommer has been with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Highly encourage you to go out and get a copy of the book, When It Was Just a Game, Remembering the First Super Bowl. It's been a while since you've been on the show, Dr. Frommer. A pleasure, and thank you so much. Enjoy the holidays.
Right. Same to you and your family. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Much more straight ahead tonight, right here, the biggest and the best in sports at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, where we always deliver the biggest and the best in sports. Tonight, you're in for a real treat as we have a very special guest on our show, Super Bowl champion coach Tony Dungy, who led the Colts in 2007 to a Super Bowl over the Bears. And we have invited him on tonight to highlight and get his perspective on a new movie that is out this weekend. It is called Woodlawn. And for all of our faithful followers and listeners out there that listen to the show, you know in the month of September, we had NFL great Tony Nathan on our program. He shared his story of inspiration and the movie Woodlawn. It is based on his story. And there is so much that we can learn from Tony Nathan, who attended Woodlawn High School after the government mandated desegregation in 1973. Tony went on to have a terrific NFL career, played for the Miami Dolphins, and Tony Dungy, our guest, and Tony Nathan have known each other for a long time. They have a wonderful friendship, and it's such an honor to have Tony Dungy with us tonight to talk about the movie. Good evening.
Well, thank you, Alyssa, and thanks for having me on. You are absolutely correct. Tony Nathan and I were contemporaries playing, and then I coached against him for a number of years, and when I had a chance in 1996, when I got the head coaching job with the Buccaneers, I hired him as my running backs coach. So I got to spend 6 great years with him, and he made an impact not only on our team but on the Tampa community.
Well, I know that there is a tremendous anticipation with this new movie that is out, Woodlawn. I know that for the Campbell family, we definitely can't wait to go out and watch it this weekend. Would you just mind providing and setting the stage on Tony Nathan's journey and some of the takeaways? What can we learn from that?
Yeah, early 1970s, and as you said, now desegregation is mandated, so this tremendous athlete, football player, has to now go, African-American player, goes to an all-white school, and what happens? Who becomes a star? How do the kids see it when the parents and everybody else is saying, this shouldn't work, it's not going to work? And you got a group of young people who come together basically because they're drawn together by a Christian belief that we're going to make this work. And so instead of being bitter and fighting it, they just say, you know what? We're going to make something happen. We're going to make people notice the way we do things. And it's sensational. And for me, being 60 years old and growing up right in the middle of that, it's just all the more special because I know firsthand what the tenor of the day was like and how difficult that is to stand against popular opinion and to say, we don't care what the rest of the world is doing. We're going to do it the Lord's way, and I think that's the message of the movie.
We are highlighting the new movie, Woodlawn, and visiting, going on one-on-one with Super Bowl champion head coach Tony Dungy, who's joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, sharing also his personal relationship with Tony Nathan, the story, the movie. It is about him. He obviously is a special man, and this movie, it shares about faith, about persevering. It's more than winning games and scoring touchdowns. What does Tony Nathan mean to you personally?
Well, Tony was a guy who never pointed any attention to himself. He was a great player at University of Alabama, a great player for the Miami Dolphins, but he was one of those guys you would call the unsung hero. Very talented, but not flashy, and not maybe not even the person you would look to and say, gosh, here's the star. But he had an ability to bring everybody together, to make everybody else better. When he worked for me, he was a tremendous teacher. Warwick Dunn was his first, really the first running back that he coached here. Mike Alstott and Warwick Dunn, they were both rookies of the year. They both went on to tremendous careers. And that's kind of the Tony Nathan story. Hey, here's my two proteges. You know all about them. but you may not know who's behind them. And to me, that kind of says everything about Tony Nathan in a nutshell. He makes everybody around him better.
You know, the movie Woodlawn, you really have to tip your hat to the creators, the producers, because obviously the goal was to impact our culture. I mean, this film can influence, it can change hearts. And I think, Tony, this is it's such an important film, especially at this time in our country. There's so much that we can learn from it.
No, you're right. And it shows how you have to tackle some of these problems and issues that we have. And it comes from inside of people and people wanting to make a difference. And people not content to just say, this is the way it is, this is what everybody else is doing, so I'll accept that and just ride with the flow. Having the inner strength to go against public opinion and say, this is the right thing to do, this is the godly thing to do, and I don't care what everybody else is doing. So that, to me, is the message. And then it shows what a difference that can have, what an impact it can have, not just on a football team or winning or losing or winning a championship, but changing a school, changing a community, changing a state.
We can start early at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, going one-on-one with Tony Dungy. He is here to talk about the new movie that is out this weekend. We want to encourage you to go out and watch it. It is titled Woodlawn, the true story of the star running back, Tony Nathan. And as we were talking about, it's such an important film. But how would you describe Tony Nathan and just how he continues to give of himself? Because isn't that's what life's about, is to utilize those gifts, those talents we have, and to make others around us better. I mean, some of my greatest influences in my life has been teachers, and it has been coaches.
Yeah, no, I promise you that's what you could describe Tony Nathan in one word: humility. And he learned that from his dad. I never met his dad, but I know a lot of people in Birmingham that told me stories about his dad, who he was just special in his life. And he transferred some of those things to Tony. And then Tony's idea was, how can I transfer what I learned to other people? And he was a great instructor for us. He was a great coach in the NFL for a number of years. And he was such a good person that way that you almost forget what a great player he was. And to me, that's the other thing about this movie. It kind of highlights that this wasn't just one of those kind of guys who didn't have a lot of talent. He was kind of an also-ran who had a great character. This was a star who said, despite that ability, I'm going to look at things differently. I'm going to maximize what I can do to help my team and my community more so than putting all the emphasis on me.
It is a dynamic new movie out this weekend and released nationwide. Of course, it is titled Woodlawn. It has been such an honor to have with us tonight Tony Dungy, first time on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
That, of course, was Tony Dungy joining us tonight right here at YSR. It is time to pause and thank all of our amazing guests in our lineup. Dick Vermeil, Super Bowl winning coach. Mark Spears of Yahoo Sports, our NBA writer. Neil Hayes, the new book that is out, The Principles Behind Winning Football. Harvey Fromer. And, of course, Duke Piper and Jim Bruton. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show.